maybe even more than on other days, it seems like Republicans don't even realize any of what's going on. I think they're in a completely different world, except for to say this. There is a growing group of Republicans. In fact, they're being described as allies of Donald, that is, friends of Donald, people who want Donald to do well, who are begging him to stop acting crazy, to follow some kind of messaging, and to actually run a campaign. And I think that the odd thing about it all is that there's that group that, that certainly does recognize that the Republican Party is in serious trouble. Their chances of winning this election are dropping by the day, and substantially so. The polling that's coming out is all coming out solidly on the side of Kamala and Tim Walz. And frankly, you know, Donald, as an example today, is giving some kind of an economic speech in North Carolina, which is to be followed by a speech in North Carolina on Friday by Kamala, where both will be providing information relative to what they think can be done on the economic front in the coming years. Now, from Donald's side, I think it's going to be nothing but lunacy, because so far, one of the things I've heard from him today is that the inflation numbers are not true. I mean, the typical Donald response to everything. Rather than have a discussion about what's actually happening, he looks at what's happening and says that it's not there. He may realize it, he may see it, but he just denies it. And by denying it, his followers, I guess sort of the rank and file, if you want to call it that, they just go along with whatever he says. But this group of Donald Trump supporters who are begging him, not just asking, not just saying, will you, begging him essentially to cut it out, to stop acting crazy, to stop saying things about who looks which way, and to start delivering a message to the public, something about what could happen in a campaign that might make a difference in people's lives. Now, the good news from the side of the Democrats, I think, is that he couldn't do this if his life depended on it. And actually, his life does depend on it, because if he doesn't do something fast, this guy is headed for jail. And he's probably headed for jail anyway. But he's not going to win an election, and certainly not doing what he's doing, because people aren't interested. And the momentum, as I've described for days now, is so dramatically flowing in the direction of Kamala Harris and Tim Walz that I don't think there's a thing in the world that Donald or anybody else in the Republican Party could do that could change any of it. I mean, what could they do? They could say, we didn't mean any of what we said, but now we'd like to give you some policy ideas. And by the way, everything that we've proposed under Project 2025, forget all of that, because we're not even doing any of that anymore. We're offering you now a real proposal for how to govern the United States. And listen, if you did it, If they did it tomorrow, nobody would believe a word of it. In fact, I think it would get them in more trouble, because I think that at that point, everybody would realize the desperation on the side of Republicans and recognize that they're just trying to do anything to grab onto to a direction that would give them a chance in the election. So none of that would work. I mean, they're not going to be able to shift in that substantial a way. Now, the next point is their offering is so not only detrimental to the country, but so negative in terms of how people feel about the Republican Party. It's just, it's beyond anybody's capability to shift or somehow mold what they've already done into a campaign, because it isn't a campaign. It's basically Donald Trump's stand-up comedy show, which I guess he's being entertained by it. But if anybody else thinks this is funny, I sure haven't heard who they are yet. Today, the inflation numbers came out for the first time year to year. It's now down to 2.9%. And certainly the Federal Reserve is encouraged by this. And I've even heard some numbers in terms of public response that is looking on this in a positive way. On the other hand, as I said earlier, Donald is just denying the entire thing. He says it doesn't exist. He said it hasn't happened. There is no 2.9%. Inflation is actually, according to him, disastrous. You know, he could never say it's just not a good thing. He has to say it's a disaster, that people are about to be destroyed. It's got to have that destruction attached to it when he describes it. So all in all, you know, he looks at what came out today and he sees it in a way, or even if he sees it in a different way, if he sees it as something that is positive and hurting him, he instead just describes it as a total destruction to the country, which can only be resolved, well, by Donald being elected president of the United States, which we all know at this point is impossible. I say we all. Certainly anybody outside of MAGA, anybody on Earth One, anybody looking at real numbers and what real people are saying recognizes what's happening here. And you know, I'll give you something to sort of laugh at a little bit, and that is a piece from the Washington Post this morning. And Joe, if you'd like to pull this up, I sent this to you earlier, and it's a list of 10 of the craziest things that Donald has recently said, which honestly, people are looking at and thinking, there's something wrong with this man. And I think this even goes for people who maybe didn't have any special feelings about any of this before, or maybe they didn't like him before, but now I think they're recognizing that, you know, some of what has been said by people like Mary Trump, who talks about the fact that he's a psychopath and that he's got, you know, enormous problems. I know George Conway has been talking about the possibility of sending him to some kind of medical care. At any rate, do you have this, Joe? Is this available? If you've got it for the screen, I can, there we go. Okay, so you do have it. Okay, so very good. So The first thing on this list, this is a good one, and we've talked a little about it before, but that Kamala Harris's rallies don't have any crowds at all. In fact, no people have been there. Nobody was there. There was no participation. Not that the 15,000 is a lie, none of that. Donald says nobody has gone to these events, period. They're empty. Kamala's doing this by herself. The crowds don't exist. It's just Kamala speaking into a microphone. So that's the first thing on this list. This is great. You can find this in the Washington Post if you have access to it. And then comes number two on this list, and that is that Biden prepared to have the FBI assassinate Trump. Really? Now, I'm not sure if that is claiming that this guy that did the shooting was somehow set up by Joe Biden, or if they're talking about how when the FBI went to Mar-a-Lago, that, as you may remember, Donald said that they had been given instructions to use force against Donald. So I'm not sure which event we're actually talking about here, but it really doesn't matter because I think we all know, in any case, that never, not at any time, not ever in 2023 or 2024, never has Joe Biden attempted to get the FBI to assassinate Donald Trump. But Donald says that yes, that Biden has in fact set this thing up. So again, I'm not sure which event he's pointing to. I'm not sure which day he's assessing as an attempt on his life, but he definitely has decided that Joe Biden, in association with the FBI, is attempting to kill him. Okay, number three, that the Democrats in general, that their messaging, overall, what they've said to the public is actually to blame for the assassination attempt on Donald Trump. So that would lead me to think that number two refers to the FBI going to Mar-a-Lago, which is something that he certainly has claimed, that there was language in the documentation that indicated that Biden wanted the FBI to kill Trump. All of this is completely ridiculous. Now, number four, it's a good one, that Joe Biden faked having COVID. That when Biden said he was sick, that he wasn't sick at all, that he was totally making it up, and that Biden did not have COVID. It was just a fake. He was never sick at all. Of course, he sounded sick, but then again, maybe he's a great actor and he could play with his voice and do that whole thing. But I would assume that Joe Biden had COVID, and he also has access to Paxlovid, which is the drug that they take that knocks the COVID results down very quickly. And people who have COVID recover very quickly. I think they say even within 3 days. It's very effective. It works. Everybody I've spoken to about it says it works. But of course, Donald says Joe Biden didn't have COVID at all. Be interesting to know how he came to that conclusion. Okay, number five. Trump went down in a helicopter with Willie Brown. Now, we know that Willie Brown says he was never in a helicopter with Donald Trump. It just never happened. There is another black person. He was in a helicopter with Donald Trump, and that they did have a problem with the landing. And he thinks that that might be the one that they're talking about. Although there's also a helicopter ride with Jerry Brown, and that one also had Gavin Newsom in it. And in that case, that helicopter, they said, did not go down in any unusual way. But if there was a Brown involved in this conversation, it looks like it might have been Jerry Brown. On the other hand, it may turn out that Donald was just thinking about a black person and thinking that all black people are named Brown or Willie Brown. So that's possible too. But one thing is for sure, the whole discussion about Donald going down on the helicopter appears to be first delusional. And then there's another point to this, and this is what you really got to think about, is Donald has a whole story about how Willie Brown told him when they were in the helicopter many bad things about Kamala Harris. So it wasn't just like being in a helicopter with Willie Brown or Jerry Brown or the other black guy or whoever it is, because what it really is a completely made up story where Donald says somebody, Willie Brown supposedly, because, you know, Willie Brown does have a relationship with Kamala. They were involved, I guess, romantically years ago. And there's something bad that supposedly Willie Brown told Donald, which so far he hasn't told us. Now, don't be surprised. I'm sure one of these days Donald will tell us what that is, but so far we don't know. So we're just going to have to wait and see. And we're also going to have to wait and see who was actually in this helicopter, or was this just a delusional event for Donald? Could be any of those, but we'll have to wait and see still. But certainly there's something to it. Only Donald knows, and probably any psychiatrist in the future who has the opportunity to examine him. That would be helpful. Okay, let's go to number seven. Kamala Harris, only recently identified as being black. Now, there are a number of problems with this claim, although he's still saying it. He has no problem with that. He repeats it over and over. But here's the difficulty. She has been a member of the famous black sorority, AKA, for years. So in joining that sorority, it appears that Kamala was identifying herself as being black. In addition to that, so many people have come forward and said that over the years, Kamala has said that she's black. Now, what Donald has used to try to make his case is the fact that that Kamala does say that she has an Indian heritage, that is, a South Asian Indian heritage, as being half of her family. And we all know that's true, that half of her family came from India. The other half came from Jamaica. And I guess the problem is that Donald's having is that if you say that you have some Indian heritage, you're not allowed to at the same time say that you're Black. I'm not sure what the reasoning is for that, but apparently that's something that's in Donald's head, and he's having a great deal of difficulty getting past it because he just continues to encourage this idea that Harris just recently said she's Black and that she never was Black before. First of all, I don't even know why it's his business, but besides all of that, it's just wrong. But it is part of the top 10 list from the Washington Post. Number 8 on the list, Trump's January 6th crowd was larger than the crowd that Martin Luther King had in 1963. So there are a lot of problems with that one. One problem would be, did they have 300,000 people at the January 6th insurrection? Because we know for a fact that's not true. That's not even close. Here's another problem, and it's even bigger, much bigger than the size of the crowd. And that is, even trying to compare his audience to Martin Luther King's March on Washington, the civil rights rally, the iconic civil rights rally from 1963, to even begin to try to make a comparison to that, it's beyond comprehension. Why would he do it? It's just an insult to Black people. And if he had any common sense, which he obviously doesn't, he'd know it has nothing but the sense of being an insult, and he would stop doing it. He would get rid of this conversation. I mean, he's a guy who keeps saying that he's going to attract 25% of the vote from the Black community in this upcoming election. And I have said overall, repeatedly, that it will not be more than 5%. And I have to tell you, he's really challenging the 5% at this point. If he keeps talking like this, he's liable to break records by going to less than 5%. Don't know what he's trying to accomplish, but this is not working. So let's go on to number 9. Other countries are emptying their prisons and sending criminals to the United States. And I hate to tell you, there are so many people who believe this one. I know this list is supposed to be a list of crazy examples, ideas that no one could possibly believe because they've already been debunked. They've already been shown to be ridiculous. And yet, this is one, number 9, this is one that people really do believe. They think, certainly his followers, believe that countries are emptying their prisons and they're sending their criminals to the United States. And we've had people that have been on these trips. I know they like to call them caravans, but whatever they want to call them, these groups that have come here, families together that have walked thousands of miles to get to the United States. These aren't criminals. These are families. These are people who are doing everything they can to find a way to survive in the world. They want to live. They want a better existence for their families and even for possibly friends in the other country that might follow them here. They don't want to come here to steal anything from anybody. They're not coming here because somebody has promised them a windfall of Social Security or a windfall of unemployment insurance that these people somehow, if they get here, that they can relax for the rest of their lives, they'll have no problem. There's none of this going on. But there's no question that there are people who believe Donald when he says that the prisons are being emptied. I guess predominantly they're saying that this comes from Venezuela. But I have to tell you, there's something else that you ought to look up. Would not be a bad idea. There is a website, and it's got a number of examples on it. And where you go is you go to Venezuela Prison Paradise. And I think you might be a little surprised to find out what's really happening and what has been happening for years in Venezuela, because they have people in prison who have their families who join them in prison. So they've actually got families who live with the prisoners. And in many cases, these people have said they don't actually even want to get out. They like it in prison. They actually have a very interesting existence in these prisons. But like I say, it's online. You can find it. Just go to Google and put in Venezuela Prison Paradise. And I think you might be surprised what's going on there. But actually, Donald, they're not emptying their prisons out. And in fact, the people who are coming here are the absolute least likely people of anybody in the United States to commit a crime. And for that information, you can go to my website, which again, I've given this before, but we can put it out here again. My website is talkstl.net, talkstl.net. You go there and then you go to where it says reading room, scroll down, and you'll find the article on immigration and crime. And I think you'll be very interested to find that in the United States, immigrants commit the least crime of any subgroup of people that anybody identifies, certainly in this article, and actually in any other article that I've ever seen. Crime in the United States committed by immigrants is extraordinarily low. Now, it's true. If you look around, you can find a person from another country who has committed a crime, but not many. You could find one. You could find maybe two. You could look around. You'll find a few. There's always somebody that's willing to break a law. But in the overall numbers, it's American citizens who commit the greatest number of crimes here, not immigrants. Okay, Number 10. This is one of the best. I know there are people who believe this. The Democrats want to allow the killing of their babies after the babies are born. This has been debunked so many times by so many people. There shouldn't be anybody on the planet left who believes that members of the Democratic Party support the idea that women should have their children, that their children should be delivered, and when their children are delivered, they should then be murdered. The fact that anybody believes this is beyond insanity. And the fact that Donald keeps saying it is completely ridiculous and also really lends credence to what George Conway and, of course, Mary Trump both say, which is that Donald has very, very serious psychological problems and really ought to get medical help as soon as possible, which I think, in a way, goes along with Donald's supporters, who, as I pointed out earlier today, have been saying today, I shouldn't say saying, begging. They are begging Donald to stop all of this. Cut it out, they say. Come up with a message. Come up with a political campaign. Develop a disciplined message and bring this to the American people. Give the people a chance to vote on Donald Trump, who has delivered a political message to the country. This is what Donald would be willing to do as president. These people are begging him to do it. Like I say, this isn't like they just wrote him a letter and said, would you please? This isn't just a recommendation. This is begging him, thinking that there must be some way to get him to stop with these crazy things that he says. They don't want to hear anymore about how Senator Tester's stomach is the biggest stomach that he's ever seen. They don't want to hear about that. They think that that's hurting them. And you know, I'm sure it is hurting them. I'm positive it's hurting them. So they're hoping that maybe something like that might stop. And calling Kamala Harris dumb, that's probably not a good idea. I mean, it's pretty obvious that Kamala Harris is not dumb. It's pretty obvious that she does not have a low IQ. Now, I will say this, and this is sad enough. When I was on the internet earlier today, I did see somebody, actually a friend, who, I say a friend, but a friend who's on the other side. And she wrote on her Facebook post something about criminals and liars and, you know, all kinds of things like that. Just not like bad political ideas, but, you know, definitely lying and cheating. Yeah, that was in there. Defrauding people. I mean, it was really sort of funny, actually, because all of the words that were used in this post were words that you would normally attach to Donald Trump. And instead of Donald Trump, she asked, who do these apply to? And then you get the people responding. And believe me, there were lots of people responding. Many. When I say many, I believe I saw more than 80 up till that point. And they all said Kamala Harris. And I just have to ask you, who has Kamala Harris defrauded? What lie has she told? Who has she cheated? I mean, I think this is all really interesting. But listen, here were 80 people on the internet who were willing to say that this was a way of describing Kamala. Not Donald, Kamala. Now, I, in large capital letters, wrote D-O-N-A-L-D. I just wanted to see what kind of a response it would get. I'd say most of these people that are part of this group certainly know who I am, and they would be likely to say something about it, but I haven't checked. But I did think it would be interesting to see, because I can't even imagine what the accusation could be against Kamala when it comes to cheating or lying or defrauding people. I just don't get it. Now, obviously, these people weren't kidding. They didn't say it and then put an LOL next to it. They really mean it. They think it's Kamala, and they think it isn't Donald. I guess somehow they've missed the story about being convicted of 34 counts of felony. Or maybe they missed the story in New York where Donald has to put up the money, $175 million, against a $450 million judgment, which is because of defrauding banks and insurance companies in the state of New York. Somehow, they seem to have missed that story. Or maybe they don't know about the $90 million that Donald has to pay to E. Jean Carroll because he raped her. I mean, I'm not sure what it is that people are missing here. But this isn't even like it was last year. Last year, you could say, well, no one's proved it yet. These are just accusations. Of course, in this case, all of this has been proven. And for those people who say it hasn't been proven, let me remind you, in the United States, when a jury decides, when a court adjudicates your complaints and finds that you've actually done it, that you've raped a woman, that you have defrauded banks and insurance companies, that you've lied to the state of New York and even the federal government about your taxes. When the courts find these things, and for example, when the court says you are convicted of 34 counts of felony, it's no longer an allegation. It's no longer maybe you did it. You are now a felon. You are now somebody that has committed the crime. You're a criminal. Somehow, though, this has escaped the understanding of a whole bunch of people, and I guess that's why we call this Earth 2. Earth 2 is different than Earth 1. On Earth 1, What we see, what we touch, what we feel, what we know, well, that's factual. On Earth 2, it's a whole different ballgame. But right now, I'm not going to worry about Earth 1 and Earth 2, because whichever Earth you're on, you're probably going to want to have dinner eventually. And your best choice for dinner, as far as I know, is Wendy's. So if you go to Wendy's at 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road in the Valley, in Chesterfield Valley, you're going to be a very happy person. First of all, you're going to get wings, and the wings are great. Then you're going to think about smoked meats, hamburgers, cheeseburgers, patty melts, salads, all great food, and maybe pizza, great pizza at Wendy's. I have to tell you, you start with wings and you end with pizza, and everything is great, except for then you might even want to take one other recommendation if you're listening to anything I have to say. And that is, think about the baby back ribs. Those baby back ribs are outstanding. And on top of the baby back ribs, I love the onion rings. And believe me now, after months of talking about Wendy's, I've got people who have gone there and come to me and say that they really do love those baby back ribs. So it's not just me saying it. There are plenty of people who have tried it and who really enjoy it. So, I mean, you can get the wings if that's what you want, but I say go for those baby back ribs and the onion rings at Wendy's. And then when it's all said and done, you can drive right down the road to Defiance, Missouri, and then you can go to another Wendy's. That's Wendy's Roadhouse in Defiance. It's at $29.99 South Highway 94 in Defiance, Missouri. And it's the same great food that you're going to always get at Wendy's, this time in Defiance. Try it there. Try it in the Valley. It's all going to end up the same way. Great dinners, great food at Wendy's. Now, if you're thinking about jewelry, you want to go to 4506 Hampton, and that's Jewels on Hampton, and that's in St. Louis. And of course, Al and AJ are the two important people who are there. They're always there. They love their business. They always are available there, and they buy and sell jewelry and coins, and they also design jewelry, and they have cases filled with jewelry, and I mean a lot of cases. And you can just walk through this entire big area and just look at all the different great jewelry. It's all available at Jewels on Hampton. People really like Al. He's just a really good person, and they love his business. And you will too. 4506 Hampton in St. Louis. And that is Jewels on Hampton. And finally, you go right down the road from there and you go straight to the St. Louis Suit Company in Clayton. The St. Louis Suit Company in Clayton is a terrific place for men's clothing. They've got suits, they've got shoes, they've got ties, $5 ties that are unbelievable. And you know, here you are today, you've got a little closer look at what I'm wearing, and you can certainly see the tie. This is one of my favorite ties. I really love it. It's a blue tie. It's got other colors in it, I guess some white as well. You know I'm colorblind, but I can tell you this. You would never imagine that this silk tie is $5, but it is. At the St. Louis Suit Company. Now, there are other bargains there too. And right now is the time. And that is, you go and ask to look at their overcoats. And with a very short time now left before the weather starts to change, probably a month. And the next thing you're going to know is that those prices on the overcoats are going to go up, and they're also going to be all new overcoats. So, I mean, if you want to get the latest overcoats that come into the St. Louis Suit Company, you can wait until then. But I can tell you right now, there's still some bargains. Check them out on the corner of Forsyth and Central in Clayton. It's the St. Louis Suit Company. Now, if you're thinking about getting married, when it comes to wedding attire, Suit Company is considered to be one of the best places to go in all of St. Louis. They have been there in Clayton for 30 years. It's not an accident. They're just a great place for men to shop for clothes. So check it out on the corner of Forsyth and Central in Clayton. It is the St. Louis Suit Company. Okay, so I will remind you that again today, friends of Donald, they say allies of Donald, friends of Donald all over the country are begging him essentially to cut it out. Sort of like what I've said so many times, try acting like a human being. Now, I think the good news on Kamala Harris's side, and it's the reason truly that Joe Biden won back in 2020, is that Donald cannot control it. There's just no possibility. He couldn't act like a human being if his life depended on it. And actually, as I've said, his life does depend on it, because if he doesn't get this straight, if he doesn't win this election, and he won't, but if he doesn't win this election, Donald is probably on his way to jail. Now, it's true, if he could win, he could just throw out the cases. And of course, while he's in the White House, he could put everything on pause. And I guess the Supreme Court would help him on that with the immunity business. And then he could go on for 4 years and you know, cook up all kinds of ideas about how to inject people with bleach and sit out in the sun to get rid of COVID and all kinds of ideas like that. But, you know, it's all a joke because it's not going to happen. The country is on fire with inspiration caused by Kamala Harris's nomination as president, as nominee to be president of the Democratic Party. I mean, there's just no question. The excitement in America is not only widespread, but it's truly growing by the day. And you know, I really think that in some ways it's hard to tell whether the country being inspired is pushing Kamala to even greater heights, or whether Kamala is just so exciting by herself that she's inspiring the country to this incredible enthusiasm that gets bigger and bigger every day. But, you know, the test of it all, of course, it'll be on November 4th on the election day. We understand that. I guess that's 83 days away now. But the thing about it is, if you just watch what's happening, if you listen to her, you know, 3 weeks ago I talked about her and I was explaining that she has a political voice that is so strong and effective that it's sort of like a singer who's able to hit a pitch in a perfect way. And she has certainly accomplished that. That's why these numbers are going up all the time. That's why people are somehow inspired to visit her at these rallies all over the country. And in fact, that is the truth of it. She is expanding all of this beyond just the visits to, say, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania. She's going to Arizona and Nevada and North Carolina and all over the United States, because the Democrats know that they have the opportunity to compete in all of these different areas. Certainly, one of the things that's adding to this is, on one hand, the kind of numbers that we're seeing today that are telling people in the United States that, in fact, all of their concerns about inflation are actually being diminished. The numbers are getting better. Today, it was 2.9% on the year-to-year inflation number. And at the same time, the overall wage growth is sitting at 3.6%. So the bottom line is that if you're living and working in America today, you're very likely doing better month by month than you did in the past. And that's certainly one thing that encourages people to vote. Now, we also know that there's polling on this, and the polling for years has shown that people do not trust Joe Biden when it comes to economics. And I was never sure about what the reason for that was. I don't know what they were looking at. It couldn't have been the stock market, because the stock market went up consistently for 3.5 years of Joe Biden's presidency. Hardly had a day on the downside. I mean, the markets just kept going up. I don't say that Joe Biden made it happen, but certainly he didn't hurt it, because it did keep going up. Now, at the same time, here we are with polling that shows that suddenly the public thinks that Kamala Harris can be trusted when it comes to economics. And I cannot begin to tell you what the reason for that would be. I don't know. I watch economics every day, as I have for decades. I know so much about it. I know tons about markets. And I cannot begin to tell you why people have switched from what they thought about Joe Biden's economic ideas suddenly to supporting the ideas of Kamala Harris. In the first place, I hate to tell you, they're the same ideas. There isn't an ounce of difference between what Joe Biden has been recommending and what Kamala Harris is now saying. However, Kamala Harris is going to give a speech in North Carolina, and that speech is going to be this coming Friday. And this speech has been described as one that will tell the people of the country what her economic plans will be. The problem, though, is she hasn't yet told people what those economic plans will be. Not if they're going to be something different than what Joe Biden has done. So far, the only thing that she said is that she's doing exactly what the Biden-Harris team has done for the last 3.5 years. I don't know one thing different that they're doing. So I certainly love Kamala Harris, and I'm convinced, as you well know, that she's going to be the next president of the United States. And I do think that her method of describing what she's doing is far superior to what Joe Biden has been able to do. And it's not because Joe Biden's incompetent. It's just one simple thing. We know it. He's old. And beyond being old, it's affected his ability to speak. He can't tell us the story that he was able to tell 10, 15, 20 years ago. Even 3.5 years ago, he was stronger than he is today. But that's saying nothing bad about him. The man is a great man. He has accomplished more than most presidents that we can remember. And in fact, as we do know, there is a group of scholars, 154 of them, and every year they measure who they think are the best presidents in history. And they indicated in the last report that Joe Biden was number 14 out of all of the presidents in the last 248 years. So no question, Joe Biden has been recognized as having done great things, but not able right now to tell the story. His voice is weak. His words are slurred. He struggles with the concepts that he's trying to explain to people, even though those concepts, for example, when we heard him talking about foreign policy, he sounded brilliant. It was a masterful story that he told, but it was stuck. It was stuck in the language. And we knew that he was struggling, and he figured it out finally, and he admitted it, and he moved on, and he turned it over to Kamala Harris. And I promise you, next week, when the convention begins, they're going to honor him in the best ways possible. It's going to make this convention a really terrific gathering, and I'm really looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it for Kamala Harris, and I'm looking forward to it for Joe Biden. He deserves every bit of the good things that are going to be said. And I just have one more thing I want to add before I get myself out of here, and that's about Judge Mershon, who has told Trump today that he's got to follow the gag order. And Trump, of course, is going berserk on that one. And he's explaining that New York is trying to steal his election. So you can throw that in as number 11 on the Washington Post list of people being insane. And now I want to say for the St. Louis Suit Company, for Jules on Hampton, and for Wendy's, I'm Mark Kaysen, and this is Showdown. Good night.